We go. Let's mellow our minds.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, everybody. It's Wednesday night, and I appreciate you all hooking up with us tonight at OE Dry Bones. We have a wonderful show, and I mean wonderful, educational. We're going to learn something about our own continent and what's being taken place. Many of you who are not aware, Agenda 21 has already taken place on our land for quite some time. And one of the biggest experiments that we should all be aware of is Detroit, Michigan. And we all know Detroit, Michigan, because we all grew up on Motown. And many of our families from the northern regions, we had jobs from GM, Chrysler, and Ford, and so forth, where they made the Industrial Revolution with the cars. Detroit is a very well-known city to most of us, but it is a city that's in ruin and under siege. Now, I'm not quite qualified to do the talking, so you know this is the show that fact matters. So we got a brother tonight who's in the trenches. He lives in Detroit. He's going to shed some light on what is taking place, because this can happen to any one of our states, because the news media is not showing this. They're keeping us blind on part of what's happening. But this is going on all over the world. This is called austerity, meaning they are taking people's money, pensions, and everything. And you're starting to see groups of people upset, like we've seen in Bundy and so forth. This has been going on for quite some time. We have mentioned that they are eroding the Constitution that they so-called they believe in. And now it's time for us to come to the table and say, what are we going to do? Because, as you know, many of our jobs are connected to pensions. Many of our jobs are connected to basically our whole health care, which we got Obamacare coming up. And we have not seen the severity if you cannot pay for this Obamacare yet. You know, we taking things at face value. But before I bring this brother on, his name is Reverend Pickney. I had a good meeting and talk with him. I met him through some good friends of mine who are out there still in the trenches, have not stopped. And this is going back for some years, at least over 10 years. Mary Neal, who's spearheading the what's going on with the mentally ill in our prison systems, how they're being killed, and so forth. All this is connected, everybody. All this is connected. So tonight, I have a brother named Reverend Pickney. He offered to be here for 1 hour, and I'm only into the first 4 minutes, so I'm about to cut it so he can come on and do his thing, because he so graciously gave us this time. And he's going to shed the light on Detroit. Before we get started, you know we got to go with the spirit of Maya. I hope this conversation goes to everybody. Download it. Send it to people. Truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order, and righteousness. Tonight we ask the ancestors who gave us civilization, gave us the arts, gave us music, science, mathematics, medicine, literature, philosophy, and the consciousness of a spirituality. We have best to wake up, because what's going on in this country is happening so fast. If we don't wake up, it'll happen to many cities. So without further ado, I'm going to let this brother come on now and bring him on in here. I see his number. I hope he's able to hear me good. Good day. Good evening, Reverend Pickney. How are you on? Are you on the air?
Yes, I am. I'm happy to be on the air, and thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you, man, for doing that, because I know you're doing a good work, and I know that it's rough out there, so I'm not even going to go into too much talking, but I just want you to tell the people, how did this great city who brought us Motown, the Detroit Pistons, all the great singers, some of our philosophies in math, some of the spiritual world we had from the Nation of Islam was begun up in that area, what has gone wrong in that city?
Well, you know, basically it's a hostile takeover. That's what it is. It started probably 15, 20 years ago. They got a plan together where actually the government owed the city of Detroit millions and millions and millions of dollars, and that's what really was the downfall of the city of Benton Harbor. Believe me, this whole thing was orchestrated. But let me go back and say one thing. I don't live in Detroit. I live in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and
okay.
what we doing? They experimented with the city of Benton Harbor before they attacked Detroit. They brought in what they call an emergency manager, and they gave the emergency manager all power, absolute power. He had more power than the elected officials. Let me tell you, when he first got here, the first thing the emergency manager did was take the mayor's desk and place it in the basement. And then what he did, he took the keys away from all the commissioners. And now this guy, he's not an elected official. He's a guy who's appointed. And he came here with all power. Then what he did, he took the cell phones away from all the commissioners. Now, you know one thing you can't do? You can't take a black person's cell phone. When you take a black person's cell phone, you got a fight on your hand. And that's when they decided they wanted to fight and join me. But here's the thing. The emergency manager told the elected officials that they can have a meeting. They can take notes. Then they have to end the meeting. They cannot vote on anything that has to do with the city. Now, that is too much power for one man. He said that if everybody in the city voted for something, he voted against it, he wins. So what we're dealing with is a land grab, not only in the city of Benton Harbor, but also in Detroit. You see, when you talk about Detroit now, Detroit is it's not a poverty-stricken place. People may think it is, but they got very, very valuable land. They have water. Anytime that you have water, they want that water. Right now, you got 7 billionaires fighting in Detroit for control of Detroit. You even got the Chinese over here fighting for land and trying to take stuff from Detroit. You got so many things going on in the city of Detroit. Detroit is a very, very valuable city right now. It's rich. It's rich. It just doesn't have the financial back. And remember this. At one time, Detroit was the 4th largest city in the whole United States.
Yes,
it was behind New York, California, Chicago, and then it was Detroit. Now Detroit has about maybe 700,000 people or less. And they're driving, they have continued to drive the people out. Here's what they're doing now. Detroit had the highest, now listen to this, per capita income there was in the whole United States. They had that. They had that because of General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford. They were making more money there than probably anywhere in the country. And then what happened was, when the automobile business went down, their income went down. Now they have nothing but abandoned buildings and different things on that level. But, you know, just to tell you about Detroit, Detroit is not as bad off as people say they are. It's just that now they want people to come in. They got these billionaires trying to buy the whole city. They're buying blocks of land at one time in the city of Benton Harbor.
Let me ask you this, because I can say you are the one who's going to be able, so the people get a better idea, because I didn't have a chance to get, tell them how you play a role in this, because, you know, you're from Benton Harbor. I met you through a mutual friend, and I know you have a radio program as well, and you're out there and getting the word out. Just tell us how you came into play with all this as well.
Here's what I do. I normally go all over the country and all over the state fighting for different causes. Here's what I guess this is how I became known. I did a recall of one of the elected officials here who was corrupt and a whirlpool, one of the corporation's stoolies, I would say. And I was successful at recalling him. But unfortunately, they sent the sheriff's department out to try to put me in jail. And then what they did, they did everything within their power to nail me. We had two trials. One of them ended in a hung jury. The other one, I was convicted. And then I was put on probation. I wrote an article in the People's Tribune. I write an article for them every month. And the judge said that article was a threat on his life. I quoted Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse. And then they sent me to prison for three to 10 years. But fortunate for me that I had people come in like the ACLU to get me released on an appeal bond and then eventually have it overturned. And that's when people started knowing exactly who I was and what I was. And that's why when I go up to Detroit and different places like that, they give me props because they understand that I'm on this battlefield fighting. So my thought is this. I don't just fight just to be fighting. I'm fighting for the future of our children. And that's what I do. And that's what people understand. And like I said, I'm connected all through Detroit, every place that you can think of. And the reason why it's important, everybody should come together and fight together. And I keep telling people all over this country, it's more of us than them. And we have to understand that it's more of us than them. Until we get that message out there, it's going to continue just the way it is. So, Dry Bones, what I'm telling people is that we can win this battle if we learn to work together. So, you know, that's how I got connected with everything.
Yeah, and I understand that quite well, because we come into that period of time where we have talked about this. Me, and I spoke to Mary a few times as well, they seem to have what is considered an agenda that is very hostile. And that Detroit was kind of a black city in the latter years. In the early years, of course, it was Caucasian. But it seems to be now they attacked Kwame Kirkpatrick. He had a cell phone incident. Everybody know about that. Then they got him out of there.
Well, you know, let me elaborate on Kwame a little bit, too, because they made Kwame the fall guy in this. You see, he wasn't doing no more than what anybody else was doing, but somebody had to bite the bullet. And they used Kwame, there was guys who got millions and millions and millions of dollars who they never talk about. Kwame just happened to be black. And they figure that a black person, they always look for to take the fall for everybody else. They, you know, I know that he had this gangster mentality because he hung out with the gangsters. He hung out with the Detroit mafia, the white boys. This is what he did. He, you know, but unfortunate for him, he didn't understand when somebody take a fall, and if you know, it's gonna be somebody black. He didn't understand that. He thought he was bigger than life. You know, he figured that there's no way that these folks are going to allow me to end up going to prison. There's not a way possible. But we black folks, they gun for black folks. They shoot for black folks. They were shooting for him. And if someone going to take a fall, it had to be him. And remember this. They talk about Kwame, but they knew who Kwame was. They knew exactly what they was getting. And they made that young boy, they made him into a real-life criminal because he got greedy.
Right. Now, I noticed that now we got Dave Bing is there doing all this things that are going on up there, the restructuring of Detroit. You have Dave Bing. I think he was a former basketball player for the Washington
Detroit
Brothers.
Pistons, yeah.
That's right, Detroit. I see now that he's totally just sitting there as just a figurehead because, of course, you said the emergency management agency.
See, he's not even there no more. They have a white mayor now.
Okay, so they got him out and they got a white. Now,
he's gone. And anyway, he became a corporate man. He started selling out the residents of Detroit. That's what he was doing. And they got rid of him this time around, and now they have a guy named Dugan who is just so happened to be a Caucasian, and he's the new mayor there. And
okay,
what he's
yeah.
going to do now, you got a city that's about 80% black that allow a white guy to come in and be their mayor. Unbelievable.
Amazing.
And here's the thing. He was a write-in. He wasn't even on the ballot.
He
won by a landslide. So we know there's something funny about that. Because most
now,
black people can't spell Dugan.
Now, you're telling me a write-in won in an 80%
landslide.
Oh, my goodness. This is becoming more. See, like I tell people, we got to connect the dots, everybody. Are you listening to this gentleman? He is telling it like it is up there. Let me ask a question. Now, just recently, I heard that the judge voted in favor of taking these pensions. Could you elaborate a little bit on that, or is that done?
Oh,
done
absolutely.
Deal?
Because well, the plan was to take the pensions anyway. You see, and what they're doing now, they call themselves doing it legally, but actually it's illegal for them to even consider taking the pensions of these folks around here. And then here's the deal: they plan on taking it, but what they're gonna do? They're going to cut the percentage down and give them their pension. But any way it goes, the pensioners is going to lose. So what they're doing now is really hysterical because when you think about it, they were gunning for that pension money. That pension money got millions and millions and millions of dollars in there. And they want to, if they can get in there and cut your pension in half, that's more money in their kitty. And that's what it adds up to. But you got some old folks that's drawing pensions that's now fighting, that never fought before. See, sometimes you have to get uncomfortable in order to stand up and fight for something. And now these senior citizens is out there on the front line. When you see them now, you see senior citizens on the front line standing up, fighting for that pension. Because they can't afford. They cannot afford to lose any of that pension money.
That's right. That's right. And see, we often talk about that, that I don't see us doing anything until the back is against the wall. That seems to be the mentality that we have as people here. And I believe their back is against the wall there. Now, you notice that we're in different states, and they do not at all give us much news on Detroit at all. As far as the so-called restructuring, how is the unemployment rate?
Well, in the city of Detroit, the unemployment is about 45%. And here's the kicker. It's about 60% of the people live below the poverty level. And how could you even imagine a city like Detroit suffering like that with General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, and all the other plants there? And here's what most people don't know. When Obama gave bailed General Motors out, what he did, he cut the worker. All the workers there that have been there 25 years, They gave them a buyout. You see, and then they brought in new people, and they could pay them $10 an hour. Unheard of. And that's what's happening now.
And now you mentioned something. I hope all you listening, you mentioned something that I learned about myself because I have people around those Great Lakes. And that's one of the last vestiges of fresh water out here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and they're trying to buy up the Great Lakes, everybody.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, even here in Benton Harbor, Whirlpool tried to purchase Lake Michigan. You can't buy Lake Michigan.
Jay, that's what they're doing. They're taking complete control, and I know this to be true because, like I say, I'm familiar with that area. The Great Niagara Falls is a very important place. I hope everybody knows the Eastern Seaboard will have a problem if Niagara Falls ever has a problem, and it's starting to drain itself out a little bit. So people that are aware about that. Also, let me ask you a question, because it always comes to people's minds. Now, we got one of the most prominent so-called senator from Michigan, John Conyers. What is John Conyers? I haven't seen him at all in the forefront of anything in the past, 5 to 10 years. What is he saying about it? I mean, did he warn the people that this would be detrimental?
Well, here's one thing about John Conyers. You got to remember this. He's in his 80s now. And you can tell him something 10 minutes ago, and he'd be forgot. Right now, his mind it goes in and out. He's just there right now. But let me say this about Conyers. He was a very strong fighter for the people of Detroit. Matter of fact, he even came to Benton Harbor several times. But he's more, he's a guy that was more into himself. But I definitely support him. I support him because I understand him more than anything else. He was always a strong fighter. They neutralized him. And the way they neutralized him, by his wife. His wife went to prison. She was on the city council, and she supposedly took a bribe. And also his name came up in that bribe, so they neutralized him about, I would say, maybe 10 years ago. And since that time, he's been almost worthless to us.
That's a shame.
So, yeah, but remember this, he's not all bad. He's one of the few guys that you would want to talk to. And every time I go somewhere, usually we'd be on the same panel or whatever it might be. And he always give me his card and tell me to call him. And as a matter of fact, I told him if he ever run out of cards, call me. I'll bring him the 500 I have.
And, you know, it was a time when because I met him a while back. He came. He was over that bill to bring reparations. Back in the early 90s, y'all didn't know that. He brought a bill to the House, but they didn't pass it. But he did try to make that a forefront. Now, let me ask you about this gentleman that you have as your emergency manager, Kevin Orr. He seems to be very, very articulate in his talk and very, like, you know, he's so sorry, but this is what they got to do. I know I've listened to about a few of these speeches, and he's very good at what he does. What's your take on him?
Well, he thinks he's bigger than life. You see what I'm saying? And here's the kicker on that. Him and the governor went to school together. I think they were roommates.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and that's how he got that position in Detroit. He's living on top of the world there. I mean, I think he gets $350,000 per year, plus room and board and transportation wherever he want to go. So he got him a chauffeur. He got everything he want. He don't want for nothing. And basically what he's doing, he's just fighting in bankruptcy court right now. And remember this. Here's what's really, really important about Kevin Orr. He didn't come here to fix the city of Detroit. He came here to please old billionaires. And don't forget about the Chinese. The Chinese is in Detroit now. They have long money. So it's like a heavyweight fight. You got everybody fighting. You got the billionaires fighting the billionaires, and the people that suffering is the residents of Detroit. And they really, yeah, really get a beating. And so that's really what it all. When you talk about Calvin Orr, he care less whether Detroit ever recover. See, that's not his job. His job is there to sell off all the assets of the city of Detroit. And they had this park called Belle Islands. It was separated from Detroit, but it was where everybody go have their weddings, picnics, and different things like that at this park. And what they did, they allowed the corporations to come in and take over that place for free. Not sell it to them, but for free. What they're going to do, they're going to start building homes and condominiums on that island. And Detroit is going to be the ones who suffer behind it, all the Detroit. So that's Kevin Orr's job. His job is to sell up all the property and make sure that all their buddies buy this stuff. They'll be billionaires when they come out of Detroit, Kevin Orr and the rest of them. And they're buying up everything. Everything they can set their eyes on is up for sale in Detroit. Even the art. Now, you're talking about the art. They got billions and billions of dollars of artwork. They plotting now who going to buy that. Who going to take it? Will it be the Chinese? Will it be that Quicken Loan guy? Which one of the billionaires going to take over the art collection, which is worth billions of dollars? So, you know, they're in Detroit from all angles. And like I told you, Detroit has assets. You see, when they talk about assets, Detroit got them. But unfortunately, they're about to show us what they can do.
Well, you know, I was looking at this briefly before I started talking with you, and I agree with you, the amount of wealth, and I was telling the people earlier before I brought you on, many of those jobs that came out of Detroit went into New York State, went into Ohio, where all these plants went into. So it brought a black middle class into fruition that has not been seen at that time. There was a great middle class in the 60s and 70s and 80s that when those automobile companies opened. I had the sad pleasure of seeing one that I grew up seeing. It was a General Motors, and it was empty, full of weeds. Nothing mm-hmm. was there. And they start now to fix some of these things. But let me ask you this question. What is the unions? Because many of us know that once you destroy the unions, you have pure communism or pure socialism, however you want to call it. How are the unions going? What are they going through?
Well, here's the deal. We had an opportunity to neutralize the state of Michigan. The union had five proposals on the ballot. We had one. That was to rid ourselves of the emergency manager. That's when we went out and got 226,000 signatures. That's right, 226,000 signatures. We got it to repeal the Emergency Act, Public Act 4. What the union did, they didn't want to put no money into our groups to fight Public Act 4. But they wanted everybody to fight their proposal, and they wanted them to fight it for free. They didn't want to give up not one single dime. They thought that since we're fighting for Public Act 4, and if we win Public Act 4, which we did, that we would also win their five proposals also. But they was wrong. We won Public Act 4, and all five of their proposals didn't pass because they didn't put the money into it. It was so simple. And it was a time where they should have been out here trying to do things. But unfortunately, they don't think on that level. They think one thing they say about black people, if we get out there and do something, we had our minds set on Public Act 4, they figure that they can get a ride. They can ride our backs on these other five proposals, but they was unsuccessful. They didn't understand that the people, black people, we focus on one thing. When we focus on one thing, that's what we do. And that's how it all or any. And the union itself is the biggest joke you ever want to see. I tell you, Acme now, Acme, they did help. They helped finance some of this stuff. Usually they would get a bus for us if we had to go to Lansing. They would do that, but they the only one would do something. All the other unions were worthless. They didn't want to put no money, not one single dime. They wanted, anytime they want you to do something, they want you to do it for free while everybody else get paid. That's how they do it, and that's why they lost, and that's why they're suffering right now. And believe me, the union is taking a beat. I mean, it is not a free situation here in Michigan. Remember when they had Hoffa as a president? Nobody messed with the union. Now everybody messed with this union. I mean, when you say you're going to call the union on somebody, they laugh at you. You know, it's a big joke. That's how sorry you are, Dry Bones.
Yeah, and that union, I'm well aware of it because it's in the state of Florida as well, and they are probably one of the few. What they are doing are dividing the unions up, and they're making special concessions to different ones of them. And, of course, the heads of these unions are getting little tokens. And so because of that, we have been divided up because if we all have stayed in one big union and not waiver, we wouldn't have all these problems. And a lot of these problems, is, in my estimation, is because we are so unaware of what is actually happening across this whole country. Many people do not see this as a hostile takeover. Now, this is the same thing that has happened to Greece and Europe. It happened to Portugal. Venezuela is getting it. Only thing problem that they don't see is the violence. Now, let me ask you this, because we know conditions can bring hostile minds. How is the conscious, the spiritual, the religious community handling all this mayhem that's happening, that seems to be on purpose? How are you guys able to handle it with all these people?
Well, let me say this to you in reference to the ministers that exist in the, let's say, in the state of Michigan. They're a big joke. They're almost ridiculous. They're getting what they call faith-based money. And by them receiving faith-based money, it's like it's not a lot of money now. Don't give me don't let me tell you it's not. It's pennies really. But what they're doing, they're selling out. They're selling out the community. And here's something that's so amazing. You see, what made Martin Luther King bigger than life? You see, he took the church that was inside the building and put it in the community. When he died, they took the church that was in the community and put it right back in the building. And that's where we at today. The church is inside the building, and they're not telling their people the truth. They're not telling the people that it's going to rain. They're not telling the people that you need to get out here and do something. They're telling the people everything going to be all right. Just listen to Mr. White Man. You'll be fine. And that's really what it adds up to. They want you listening to these white folks telling them. Now, all these white folks, they're not bad now. Not all of them are good. We got some great ones, some good ones, someone who stands, who fights with you, and will go toe-to-toe with anybody who say something bad about you. But we also have some evil ones, the ones that part of that 1%, the ones that who thinks they're part of that 1%. And that's what we have today. And let me tell you one quick, I'm going to jump into this real fast. I remember when I quoted that scripture, Deuteronomy 28, starting with the 15th verse. Mm-hmm. And when they sent me to prison, let me say this, the ministers all got together and gave this judge an award for sending me to prison. What they did, they gave this guy an award for sending me to prison. And here's the thing, when it got overturned, they were so angry and upset that you could tell that they knew nothing about God. And that's not just, it's all over the state. It's all over the country. They got these ministers so messed up mentally that they don't even know where God is located.
And, you know, I'm going to bring up a point that you said that was important. That faith-based initiative money, everybody, did not come from the Democratic Party. It came from George Bush.
That's right.
So when they start talking about all we Democratic, Republican, it don't make no difference when it comes to money, because they took it from a Republican named George Bush, and he gave them all this money. It's in every state. And many of you look at these people on a regular basis, and I'm going to tell you right now, he said something that was so important. He said, basically, we doing ourselves in, and we know the culprits, but we support it. And if we support it, we are partakers of her. And that's where we at. We had a spiritual battle for y'all, and especially for Jemiah, because this brother is really seeing some deep stuff in there. And I commend you, brother, for holding your ground out there like that.
I appreciate that. And you know, one thing you got to understand about these ministers, if they love God, if they say they love God, they wouldn't do their people like this. The biggest problem we have is the church. You can't fix your community until you fix the church. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it, because every Sunday, this pastor has the attention of these people. And whatever that pastor, that man say, 90% of the people inside the church is going to listen to this guy, whether he's right or wrong. It doesn't make a difference. I remember years ago when things happened in the community, the church would get together and fight back. Now what you have something happening in the community, they're telling the church member, don't do anything. See, one of the things that they always say, they always talk about what would Jesus do. See, they got to understand this. Jesus had to turn over a few tables and have to whip a few people. See, they don't never want to talk about that. But if you talk about what would Jesus do, Jesus will turn over a few tables, and he will pull out his whip and whip a few people if it's necessary. So that's what we have to get into. We have to show these people and make them either put up or shut up. That's where I'm at.
My thing is this.
If you're not with me, that means you're against me. And don't get in my way, because I'm going to run you over. That's what I'm going to do. If you get in my way.
Because I've been known of church for a long time, and that one scripture is never explained how he was able to kick over the money changers. Not just a certain person. He kicked over money exchange. That's commerce, everybody. That's merchants. And he's seeing how wicked this was going on now. These merchants of death are taking our land, taking our whole property, and we laughing at it. And so the longer we laugh, like the brother say, you know, but it happened in our house. In order to get stronger, we got to clean the inside. And right now, he's absolutely right. And I believe that scripture. Now, I know the Bible somewhat. It says it all starts, spiritual wickedness must start on high. And that's where it's at. It's on high. It's in the house. They all, and every Sunday they go out there. Now, here's another thing, too.
We must teach these pastors and tell them, you have to use scripture on them. You have, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for your soul? What would you give? And that's with that faith-based money. That's, you know, you're destroying not only the community, but the future of the community. See, that's what people don't look at. See, what you see today is happening, but you really don't see the future. And that's why they're destroying, and the church is doing it. Church folks is doing this. You talking about, I love God, I love Jesus. How much do you love Jesus if you're allowing them to destroy the future of your children?
That's right, everybody. GMO, all this is going on. Let me ask you something, because I'm stick on this, because I want people to learn that it can happen here. You have a lot of celebrities. You have a lot of history there. A lot of music icons that we all grew up on. What is that community saying? I mean, these are some wealthy black individuals in that city. What are they doing?
Well, you know, there are some who speaking up. Smokey Bill Robinson, he's doing some things, but very few. See, once you get into that different financial bracket, you start looking at things a little bit different. You see, long as you poor. You see, you ready to fight. But once you reach that different pedicle, you see things a little bit different. You got yourself $2-3 million. They don't see things like a person that may have a couple of $1,000s. You see?
Exactly.
And here's the kicker. They think that Whatever they have is going to last forever. It doesn't affect them. It just affects you. They don't understand it affects them also until it's too late. And just like these, all these athletes we have that's making millions of dollars, do you think for 1 second that they would take that money and put it back in the community and be able to write it off? See, here's what they rather give the government the tax money then give it to an organization in the community who can put people to work and write that baby off. They don't want to do that. Look on TV. All you see is black millionaires. And I bet you can count on one finger how many people are actually taking care of their community. I'm not talking about giving out T-shirts and gym shoes. I'm not talking about giving out turkeys. I'm talking about in your community providing employment, setting up laundromats, little candy, even little mama papa stores, grocery stores, things that we own. Because right now the Arabs are taking over everything. They get once you give them your money, they take the money out of the community, and it never circulates again. You see,
that's right.
And that's the reason why we're so poor today. The money's supposed to circulate in your community. And the only way it's going to do it, we go back to the mama papas, the laundromats, the little grocery stores, these, and the gas stations. Those are things that we supposed to be owning. And that's how you keep the money in your community and grow. And nowadays, they have taken that away from us. They allowed the Arabs to come in here tax-free, loan-free. They get free loans with no interest, and they buying up everything. And it is designed to attack us. That's what it's designed to do. To make sure you don't get a store. Make sure you don't get a gas station. Absolutely. So that's really what that's all about. They know how divided we are. We're so divided up, I mean, by color, height, you know, smell, you name it. We all divided up. We hate each other for reason unknown. And here's the thing. You can have somebody can step on your toes. If they black, you're going to shoot them. If they white, you might say, excuse me. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on my own toe, have my foot there so you can step on my toe. You see, but that's the mentality of what we're dealing with. We got to change the way we do business. Until we change the way we do business, it's going to continue just like this. And I don't care. We could talk all day and all night. Talking ain't going to get nothing. And I believe, this is me, Dry Bones, talking. I believe there's never, ever, ever, ever going to be a change without a conflict. And that's why they want to have that buy guns back and all this kind of stuff. Long as they got you with no guns and all this kind of stuff, they say, well, they're killing all in the street. Yeah, they might be doing that. But look, if they didn't have guns, there'd be more killings. So, you know, that's how I look at it. But my thing is
this. That's what we say. I agree with you 100% because we always say the same thing about the guns and everything. You have a right to protect yourself, and that's a fact. Since you brought that up, how is the racial climate there? I mean, because with all this unemployment, you got still business as usual, but you still got a high unemployment level. And how's that working with the racial climate up there?
Wow, I'm glad you asked, because you think up here in the North that racism don't exist. Racism is alive and well here. On the job, they still hanging nooses. They hang nooses inside the job, burning crosses. Racism is, police brutality. You name it, we got it. Never before in the history of mankind have some of the stuff that has happened here in the last 10 years, someone would believe. You would think that you was in Detroit, Mississippi somewhere, the way these folks, the way things are going on around here. And look, you can't. There's no place that you can go. And who you gonna tell? You can't tell nobody that it's happening, because first of all, they ain't gonna investigate. Let me say this. Look, in Benton Harbor, Michigan, we have four bodies that end up in Lake Michigan. Four bodies. One guy with his penis cut off, and And one guy that was weighed down with weights in the way. Other guy was beaten to a pulp. His face was just beaten, you know. And then one other guy they found in there, they found him upstream. They couldn't even tell what happened to him. But listen to this. All four men, the first one found this with his penis cut off, he was last seen by two white police officers, and they found him 40 feet from where he was talking to those police officers. And when they said no foul play, that means no investigation. No investigation. That's what it's. Yeah. Anytime you hear no foul play, that simply means no investigation. That's what they're saying. And then we fall for it. You see, well, they said it was no foul play. Okay, his penis got cut off. Maybe a shark bit it off. But we don't know. That's the mentality of what we're doing. But then let me go on and say this. Now, we did a recall of the mayor here. This guy, this corrupt mayor, just so happened to be black, corrupt, as corrupt as you can get. We did a recall. We were successful in getting enough signatures to recall this guy. But here's what happened. They decided to send the sheriff out to investigate signatures. People out there, are you listening to this? They said for 8 weeks, now this is the ninth week, that they've been out there, four men on this, four police officers, four deputies out, and don't tell how many people inside the office checking this, going door to door for some signatures and trying to make people say that they didn't sign the petition. But yet and still, we got four dead black men. One deputy officer out investigating the murders. It just doesn't make sense. But black people won't even rise up and say something about it. The day it was in our newspaper, the day that three commissioners said something about it, because I've been saying something about it. I've been sending emails out about it. And they will not rise up and say, look, you're not doing this in my community. So you can take your butt out of here. If you're not going to investigate the murders, don't investigate those signatures around here, which we know the signatures are good. But my point is, why go there if the clerk said they're good? Both clerks, the city clerk and the county clerk, say they're good. What right do you have to go out there and challenge these people? You don't have that right. So I'm working on something right now. I'm going to get with the ACLU later on this week, and we're going to file a suit against the sheriff's department and the county. That's how we're going to deal with it. And we're going to make sure they understand how serious we are about fighting back. But my message is so strong tonight in reference to these four dead bodies. Not a single investigation. But you talking about some stinking signatures. They've been out 9 weeks. 9 weeks, can you hear me? Four deputies.
Yep,
trying
I
to
believe
find out some signatures. And they won't investigate murders of black people. So we know if we don't say enough is enough, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you know, and don't think it's just happening here. It's all over the country. Except people not reporting it. Most people are scared to open their mouth. You'd be surprised. I ain't going to get involved with that. I don't want them to come after me. Well, they're coming after you and your children.
Wow.
And that's what we go through here. You ain't alone. I'm going to be honest with you. And I know you told me you want to give me, you can stay on if you like. I have no problem with it. But you give us some information for those of you who are wanting to stay involved with people across the country, because I believe we have to have a bridge of information, because what happens there is a precursor to what's happening where you at. Many of you all know here in Florida, they cut salaries. We had to fight to get those back. We never in the history have we seen people worrying about their jobs, even if they don't. And there's so much corruption is here in this so-called city by the ocean. It's the same thing happening. Only thing different, we got a different influx here because of the demographics. The demographics are set up a little bit different. As you know, but you know, y'all who's listening to me, you get out of West Palm Beach and you are in the same state of mind, white and black. So do not fool yourself. Only a certain part of Florida has a different demographic. And that's down near the bottom. But after that, it goes right back to how it always was. Let me ask you this. How can we contact you? Give us some information for those of you who want to be on your blog.
You can go to my website, which is bhbanco.org. That's bhbanco.org. Or you can call me. You can call me at 269-925-0001. That's 269-925-0001. And also, I have a radio blog talk show every Sunday at 5 p.m. And you can call in at 347-994-3644. That's 347-994-3644. And let me say this to you, Dry Bones. I truly, truly, truly enjoy you, and I'm glad you out there on that front line. And I tell you, we need more people like you, Dry Bones.
Yes, we do.
Trying, bro. We are trying, and it ain't, it's connecting with all everybody, because I tell everybody, the reason why we doing this, because this medium, y'all, we are giving more information on this medium than the news. You listen to any of the news, national news, they are not giving it all. You heard more about what's going on up there from a real person than you will ever hear on the news. And if it took 5 years of research, they would not put this type of information on there. So you should be glad that we have this information to put on for everybody. And also, I think we got to connect, brother. I think that it's going to be a nation endeavor. I don't think, I just think it's going to be bigger than just what we think, because the pressure's on. I heard Russia's over here and was doing ballistic missile training in Montana on an agreement, people. China is in here telling people what they're going to buy. That's what that Bundy thing is about. So we are being taken over by a UN agenda called Agenda 21. I had no idea how fast it would be when I found out about this. But it's definitely happening, brother. You've seen it as well, because what's up with the real estate market there, man? Can anybody buy
a house? We're living it. What they're doing now, they're buying up everything. All the property, all the land. See, what they want to do, always remember this. It's the water. For some reason unknown, these folks love water. They want it. Look, they want water. And they don't care how to get it. Like I told you, they tried to buy Lake Michigan. How you buy Lake Michigan? You see what I'm saying? And the real estate is dirt cheap here now. And when I said dirt cheap, I mean exactly that. So they're using their dollars to do this. Like I said, even the Chinese, some people buy one block. How about buying 2-3 square blocks? That's what they're buying up in Detroit right now. They are doing things that's so incredible with that money, and cheap, dirt cheap. And look, here's the thing. All they have to do is say they got the money. They don't have to show they got the money to buy the property. That's the best part. I like to go down there and bid and say, give me four blocks. I'll pay you next Friday or in 2016. You know, I want to be just like them. When they talk about that, you know, they don't use money. See, this is what people don't understand. They don't use money to buy up this stuff. They tell them, well, I want these three blocks over there, and bill me 2 years from tomorrow or whatever it is. That's how they doing it. And you got the Chinese here. I mean, they like bullies down there. They know how to negotiate. But look, that's when you talk about real estate. The real estate, I tell you, they are buying it, they are buying it, and they are buying it. And they're buying up not just Detroit, not just Benton Harbor. I'm talking about the whole country. That's what they're after.
Yeah.
They're trying to chase everybody out of this country. So
that's the way
it is.
It's like relocating people. Where are they putting the people at?
They don't care where I go, long you get out of there. I'll get your hat. All you have to do is get your suitcase. That's what they're saying. They're telling this to people right now. They don't care nothing about the people. That should give the people the energy to want to stand up, knowing that they don't care about them. They don't care nothing about you. They don't care nothing about your children. They don't care nothing about your children's children. They don't care nothing
right.
about nothing. If it's not about them and that money, they care less. That's what we have to fight. The capitalist system
right.
is dying. It's dying. It's dying. And we're gonna make it die because we have to show them that what we need to do. But remember, here's my message for tonight. It's more of us than them. Remember that.
That's right.
There's never, ever, ever going to be a change without a conflict. On that note,
yeah.
my brother, I'm going to have to close you out. But let me say this. Anytime you want me to come on, you let me know in advance. I'll make time for you.
Yeah, thank you, bro. And I agree 100% what you just said. And I do likewise. And any endeavor that we can do to reach people, you just call on us because, man, we are here. To do what we got to do. That's what we're going to utilize this thing for. But
And let me say this. Also, we have in May 24th, we have a mass demonstration here to protest the senior PGA. We're going to march on that on that day to show them that, you know, that you can't push us around. You know about the PGA because it's in Florida. Their headquarters is located in Florida. And,
That's right.
Yeah, and their headquarters located there. But we plan on marching on that. They have a mass demonstration. That's May 24th. And we're going to meet at City Hall in Benton Harbor at 10:30 a.m. So those of you who are out there who want to come, you're welcome to come. We're going to have a tremendous time. That's May 24th this year, 2014, meeting at Benton Harbor, Michigan City Hall. And we're marching on the PGA. We're going to take back the land that they have taken from us.
That's right. And they're building huge golf courses on land for pennies on a dollar. Talking about they are using it for refined areas. We are definitely going to keep on top of that, and we're going to be doing things here, brother. So keep in touch, and I appreciate you. And I can say, I appreciate you telling me you told me your time, and I granted it. And we will bring you back. Ain't no doubt about that. You and Sister Mary as well.
We'll talk to everybody
all right.
soon. Good night all.
Thank you, brother.
Right.
Appreciate you. Now, we're going to go, y'all. We're going to keep this going, of course, because we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take your questions and your comments, or you have any comments. What you heard tonight is actually Agenda 21 in full gear. This oligarchy of billionaires, we've been talking about it. The shadow government, obviously, you see, they don't care about any laws. That's why they're lawless. Until we wake up to that reality, like the brother said, we got to do something before our back's on the wall, and that's when you have to realize it's almost way too late. It's got to be talking about stopping them now. He named companies. Dollar Tree. Don't shop there. Bank of America's involved with this, everybody. J.P. Morgan. Now, you got to use yourself wisely to what's going on. These corporations are being bailed out by this so-called shadow government. And we don't care if Obama's black because everybody we named in Detroit is black, except the mayor. The mayor was black first. That's Dave Bing. Now they got a white mayor. But the emergency management gentleman that I talked about, he's a black gentleman. Doesn't make a difference no more. It doesn't. Let's not get caught up on foolishness. We're going to have to protect ourselves, but at the same time, realize that this game is played by the same players, whether they're black, white, Asian, or otherwise. Spanish is all about that greed. So I'm going to open up the mics and let y'all come on in here. If y'all want to comment, y'all want to bring some more information to the table, please hit the number one, and I will bring you in. I will start right here. I'll bring in 8855, then I will go to 8848. So let me bring in 8855. 8557.
Hey, greetings, Brother Drawbones. This is our brother Sean.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
You know,
what's
that? I'm doing my best. I wish I had Reverend Pinckney was still on the line. I just want to say greetings to him. And you know, I was in Detroit the beginning of last month, from March 6th to the 9th. And I was there for a few days. Did a joint real estate deal with an associate and bought a home. So I have a home and established residency in Detroit. And I was there off of in the Livernois and McNichols, East McNichols and Livernois in Detroit. So pretty much in the heart of the black community. And certainly what I witnessed was, yeah, a lot of abandoned homes, buildings, businesses, and things like that. So we really have to realize that America, right, America is on sale at a discount right now. Everything in our country is on sale at a discount to foreigners. And if anyone is not aware of what's going on, like Reverend Pinckney said, a lot of Chinese investors, because they are the number one debt holders of American treasuries. Everything is being bought up in their interest. And specifically the plan, from what I've been reading and researching, and for Detroit is to become the automated, 100% automated, the automated capital of the world. Don't think that because, yeah, the automobile industry has been in decline due to, you know, Asian or Japanese automobile makers, that's not true. That's not the big picture. Just like Reverend Pinckney described, a lot of Chinese investors are buying up homes and parcels of property because those migrant workers will be Chinese. And for some of the more mundane tasks that will take place in the automated factories, those will be uh-huh. your new union workers. And so
that's right.
I saw a lot of brothers and sisters who were wearing their Ford, you know, their Dearborn Ford plant jackets and United Auto Workers baseball caps while I was there. It's sad. It's a sad sight to see. I'm from Chicago. I have family and relatives that live in Detroit. So, you know, I've gone back and forth several times, and like I said, this most recent trip,
right.
I went and bought a house, and I think. Go buy some property. Go buy some property.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. What's the going rate for a house? So everybody get there. I'm going to take 884. I'll get you next. What's the going rate? Give us the average rate.
The house that I bought was that I'm a co-owner of. It's off of it's located off of Pasadena Avenue and Livernois.
Well, how much was the rate? What's the rate of the?
It's a 3.2. We bought the property for $13,000.
That's what I'm talking about, right there, y'all. Y'all heard that, y'all? Now,
free and clear title. That was including closing costs and everything.
He said 13. Now I'm gonna take some more calls. And thank you, hold tight. I'll bring you back in here. $13,000. Now, if we gonna use these strategies of intimate and hanging in houses that's been abandoned, I would think it'd be more smarter to go in these houses instead of trying to go into a rich neighborhood and then they find out that you're using adverse possession. Why don't you just go to Detroit and bring that back, everybody who has that knowledge? You know, brother said $13,000. They wouldn't even care if they stayed there, but then again, they might, depending on what they plan on building. All right, let me go to 8848. Let me get you in here. You've been here in the line. 8848, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Brother Dry Bones. It's Malaika.
What's up?
And hi, what's up? But first of all, I want to thank you dearly for your show because each one of them gets better, better, and better with information. And I want to thank Reverend
Pinckney.
What's his name?
Pinckney.
Right, thank you. Pinckney, yes. What's his name?
Reverend Pinckney.
Okay, Reverend Pinckney.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I want to thank him for coming through and taking his time to come through because he has given us a detailed by detailed demonstration of what's going on in Detroit, but what I feel is a tsunami wave coming towards us and living here. And you know this, Brother Dry Bones, because you live in Miami, Florida, just like I do. And the demographic blueprints that I see, I've already encountered two people that say that Miami, Florida is going to be heading the same direction as Detroit. And we could think that, well, how can that be? But I can see that coming through here because they're taking, like, the middle class, they're genociding this. They're going into the black neighborhoods little by little like tentacles of octopus, and they're pushing the so-called minorities away. They're building and building, and all their, every time you turn your face, that you're driving down the strip, you know, high rises, and the ones that are benefiting, being benefited on this, is not the locals, it's the foreigners like Brazilians, and you know, the Venezuelans with money, the Colombians, you know, the people that have the cash, the money, the
right.
Gold, the New Yorkers,
that's right,
that are investing here. Another thing that another thing that I see is I never knew about the Agenda 21 until your blog talk, okay? And and it's clear to me that that's what's happening, you know, and that Detroit is in within the United States.
That's right. Now, Detroit, thank you. Hold on, let me get to that. I'm going to take some more calls. But let's get, now, Detroit is in the map of the 100 feet inland, if not more, because they're probably waiting a bit. That water is there. Now, I've heard this already. Now, any of y'all want to get on this call, please hit the number one. I see a lot of callers, but I don't see your hands up. So we can get some. If you want to get in there, bring something into the table with this and how we can strategize with this. But let me just say this. The water, Lake Erie, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, these are fresh water areas. If they get the water, you can best believe it's going to be a battle because you got to have a pipeline, everybody. I don't care. Even if you grow in vegetables, you will have no way of getting the water to have vegetables. You know, we got to think in rationale. You won't have that if the water gets messed with. Okay? Let me keep going. I see y'all coming on here. Let me get 1641. 1641, you on the air.
In Reading, the home for the past
1641. Drug
activity before that.
1641. All right, I'm going to take you out now. All right, you're not picking up. Let me get 777.
Hey, good night, brother.
What's up, brother?
Hello. How's it going?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you. Go ahead. I got you.
I'm just getting on. Once again, it is shocking, and seeing how everything has unraveled in Detroit. What's more shocking is how we as a black community are not able to take advantage of even of the opportunities that's available there. As brothers able to buy a property for $13,000, I think we got quite a few of our people that can pull resources together to buy more than one property.
That's right.
And that would be a great opportunity to, you know, to invest. Yes, I've heard a lot of negatives of the city in terms of its the population, the crime-ridden population, and the statistics. But that could be just how you say information put out to keep us from maybe going there. I've heard the Nation of Islam through some lecturers from Farrakhan about taking advantage of the opportunity, but yet there hasn't been a clear, you know, plan of action, or even by the local, I guess, organizations that are reaching out. I haven't heard much. I guess it would be more of like an individual effort to go in there to try to, you know, take advantage of it, which I think can be good from a selfless perspective, but I think if it's a collective effort by some groups of either small investors or organizations that are pulling resources together, it presents itself as a great opportunity. At the same time, trying to figure out what actually happened to Detroit. You know, what's the plan here? Was Detroit sacrificed for a reason? Was it offered, like you said, to the Chinese as payment again for the debt that's owed?
Well, I put a video out. It's on the it's on Facebook, y'all. It's called Big Business Detroit Takeover, and you can see for yourself. It's very well put together. Corporations, we're back again with the same scenario as always. Central planners and government, they teamed up with corporations, and then they came together with a bureaucracy, and then they merged this thing, and they got into what they call bed together. And they started slowly declining. It didn't happen overnight, y'all. It took some gradualism, which could be a 10 to 20 year progression. And after that 10 to 20 year progression, you can phase out a whole sector of workforce and then take control over it. And remember, we talked about this, everybody. It's systematic, scientific management. They scientifically got together, came up with a scheme. And here's the key, y'all. The brother told you, and y'all all know this. He said that, see, we kind of get upset, but at the same time, we got to look at the big picture. If you give me a loan that's $50,000 and tell me, hey, you don't have to go pay it back, man. Just take the loan in. If you don't make it, you know, let us know. And then I come in there, and my $50,000 loan has 18% or between 10 to 18% interest, and it's a killer, you know. You can't ever compete, everybody. This is what's happening, and the man said it because we watch the leaders, and we said this the other night, that we look at, and they get away with murder. Now, how long can we watch that? How long can we watch the man said it? That's a reverend, too. I want y'all to know that. He's around that. When these people are in church or any other thing, they come home. These are your relatives. These are your cousins. It's hard to reach them because of the fact that this guy got so much pull on their mind. And he might be a good person. That's not really the issue. But the message seems to be do nothing. And the connection to the do nothing message is the faith-based initiative money. We must come to grips with that. We need to have all churches who have taken that, then your congregation need to deal with you. Because you took that, and that means you have compromised yourself and your congregation, because you want to keep that stipend coming in from George Bush. All right, let me take a few more calls. Y'all bring it, number one. I see y'all coming in here. 2276. 2276.
Good evening. Good evening.
Greetings. Greetings. How you doing?
Good. How's everyone?
Go ahead. All right, go ahead. You're on the line. We hear you.
I had a comment about the Detroit situation. I'm just feeling like Detroit is in the country of the United States, and we're supposed to be the richest country with propaganda, of course. But obviously, Detroit is being used as a pawn. I just can't believe that a city of ours in this great nation is going down like that, and no one's doing anything to stop it. I heard Reverend Pinckney saying about the murders and the crime there. I mean, everything has been allowed to elevate to shut that city down.
Yes, yes, yes. It has. Everything, you're right. Everything
crime,
that. Yep. Anything that can cripple city crime.
The cripple, yeah, and now you can buy, the rental property or get homes for $13,000. I mean, if you really look at it, I'm from the north, and I watch my city go through the same thing, a lot of abandoned houses. The crime rate has risen. And, of course, the politicians, it's just like the community of the preachers. You know, they stand by because everyone's getting paid to keep their mouth shut. And
it's
the city that I'm in right now, is being flipped from manufacturing and jobs to basically a college town. So
yeah, and that's That's right. Now, they're doing
that.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that, it's not just in one city. It's in all the cities across the country. And
it's
want to be a part.
Well, we are going
to be a part of the change.
We
got to
change it, y'all.
If we don't do something now, I mean, you're going to be standing around wondering what happened.
And most of the time, when we stand around, we're going to be... Now, we won't be wondering about what's happening. We'll probably be taken out by all the craziness that will take place. Because let me tell everybody, this is not to frighten people or anything. The reality is we are in a hostile takeover by a group of well-trained maniacs. Hate to say it like that. They're into the high order of the cult. They believe in things you may think is crazy, but it is not. And they are been around for thousands and thousands of years with this program. Our bodies to them is something that is perishable. When you go into these jobs, everybody, I'm going to show you how brainwashed most of us are. And I'm finding out this every day to fight this brainwashing mechanism. When we go to our jobs and they say human resource, when you actually look up the word human resource, let me just say, you really wouldn't like that word. You're disposable. A resource is something that's disposable. You use it and you dispose of it. This is what, and we go to this thinking that these people are in our best interest. Most human resource departments are connected to the top, and they're no more than Ponzi for the upper echelon of management. So you see that this is going on even in our smaller circles, in our micro circles. So we got to realize that even in our own circles, this thing's still going on. That's where we have to realize we have to fight within the smaller to even get to the bigger. And it's coming in around us all over the place. Now, these states that we're talking about, a house that sells for $13,000 is actually not going to be much for the, you know, for that base, and unless they start to use some type of urban renewal. But they are using our money anyway, everybody. They're using our money. Now, that I agree with. I agree with all that. I hope some people call in so we can discuss this part, you know. But remember, Detroit had a constitution. It's a government. It had its own controller. It had its own forces called the National Guard. It had its own everything. And these people still went in under the FEMA, Federal Emergency Management, which has been told to everybody, but people don't think it happens. And now that they can scheme to call your state into a financial emergency to bring in what they call barbaric laws that would cause everything to be taken over, don't you see it happening? Now, who gave these people the money? Y'all, I ain't going to tell y'all, but y'all keep on jumping around. Obama gave the banks the money. He gave Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the money. They had no accountability at all. When they asked up on in the Senate, where did you get the money? Guess what they did? They said, we don't know. That's on the record, everybody, in the record. So that's where we at now. You see, we don't have no real leaders. The man said it himself. I've been saying it. Many of y'all have been saying it. We should not be waiting for these leaders that are out here. They ain't leaders. They keep you mummified so you won't do anything. And using the most serious of all, which would be the witchcraft of religion, because they know if they keep telling you that everything's going to be all right, you will believe it. And right now, everybody thinks it's going to be all right. You know how you are when we go to the grocery store. You ask anybody. First thing they say, I'm blessed. They just got cut off the welfare. They just got their welfare card reduced. They won't come in and talk about they blessed. Then, you know, that's brainwashing yourself because you ain't all right. You know, your husband getting low paid. After this Obamacare, everybody, companies are going to try to go to part-time. Not all companies, but most of like your Home Depots and your Staples and all these other food places. They ain't going to do full-time. So you are now going to be responsible for this Obamacare, and if you can't get it, they might give you a little bit of time, but you know, if we don't say nothing to them, like I said, they gonna tax us, they claim. It turns out to be a tax, like everybody said. See how everybody was saying the truth? And oh, we y'all crazy. It ain't a tax. Now you find out it's a tax. I think y'all need to start listening to people who are outside of the box. Because the people in the box, they like the rats, man. You know what happens to the rats in the box? They use them experiments. So you got to get out of the box. And that's what's going on right now. We got so many people in the box. Now, if y'all want to get on in, I'm going to bring everybody. If y'all don't, I'm going to bring the people back in. We come back in here. We still have many on the line. Hit the number one and get back in here. So if you want to get on this conversation, can your city or any city be the next Detroit? And there's many cities. Detroit is not the only one. California started out first, everybody. They started messing with it. But they did not take over the way they did with this controller they did in Detroit. It's one of the first cities to be ever happened this way. Some cities have filed bankruptcy, but the federal government never came in and took it over. And because it's near that water, see what old man said? He gave you the clue. It's near fresh water, y'all. That's fresh water, because you can't drink ocean water, because unless you go through a serious osmosis of taking that salt out, and that's very, very pricey, they are going to try to tap into the last reservoir of fresh water on this continent, of our part, the North American continent. Now, y'all best to wake up. And remember Slim Pickens, he wanted to run for president. Well, he's building a pipeline through Texas to also go up that way. Because here's a crazy law that many of y'all may not know about. Texas is the only state that has this thing called Elodio loans, meaning that when you buy a house, you own as above, so below. That means that anything found below your house is yours because they got the Elodio loan thing. Everybody in other states don't have it, so whatever above your house, if they find oil in your backyard right now, everybody, they will take you off that house and just move your whole house. If you say, I ain't moving, they say, okay, we'll move you. I'm going to stay in my house. They'll move your house for you. They will move your house for you, literally pull it out the ground and relocate you if it gets to that cost that they'll do it because they know that was the biggest expense is still underneath that ground. This is a fact. But in Texas, they don't have that. That's why I used to show us the Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, he hit the ground, he got rich and all that. He was able to keep all that. And when he went to Beverly Hills, well, they actually brought him out. But see, that back in them days, you know, they were showing you how you can find oil, but you ain't hearing that mostly all the time. That's kind of made up, you know that. But look at what's going on. So Texas is one of these people. This man was so ingenious. He took a pipe, took it down in Texas, and started drilling through this through what they call fracking. And he's drilling through states to get this pipeline near this water. Now, whether he will succeed, we do not know, but he has thought about it and brought it into fruition. This is what's going on, y'all. Let me bring some more people back in. Y'all try not to talk over each other. I'm going to tell you who I got in here, and we'll keep the conversation going with y'all. I got 884. If I hear noise, I might take everybody, take them out one at a time because I see y'all gonna make noise. But I got everybody back in 8848-1641-777-2276 and 8557. You are all on. Let me put 88 back in there. You are all on. Question is, we need to have a unification movement. I believe it should be on some type of neutrality that all of us must deal with. I think many of us, I sent out today the GMO thing because it transcends, food transcends all of your belief systems. It transcends even your color because you know you got to eat. So I think that's a rallying cry. And now I'm starting to believe that Let's Stop Agenda 21 is another one. How do y'all feel about what is necessary to rally people with agendas that could be moved to something big? Anybody?
I just say I think getting the think tank started is a great start. That way it could be channeled. Energies can be brought together so we can channel and tackle these issues maybe one by one. So I think that would be a great beginning. We definitely need to get that going. The brother said last show that we got to get those meetings going, whether they're behind closed doors and in private, but emerge from them with, you know, an agenda and a clear goal. So these issues can be tackled one by one, and then we can bring everyone online that's interested, willing to partake in it. We can go from there.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a mystery on how we should approach this problem. We know we have a common foe. That is those elites, those corporations that are hell bent on exploiting and sucking the very last, you know, ounce of blood that's left in the society before laying waste to it. So if we understand that's their goal, then it shouldn't be hard for us to unify. Again, like you said about the issue, food is a unifying factor. Health, safety is definitely another one. And financial and peace of mind. So those can be the rallying cries that we focus and channel the think tank towards. And actually, how have a voice again. It seemed to be that we don't have a unified black voice anymore in this country. It's so dispersed,
well, you know. It's dispersed. And he said it earlier, and I agree with this, and y'all tell me if I agree. This faith-based initiative money has done such a job because it has even had people lie to say they don't like Republicans. And yet, most of the money that was given to them was under the Republican administration. And yet, they would sit there and pretend that they had nothing to do with this Republican Party. So right there, everybody who's listening, who goes to church, you need to ask them, why did you take, you tell us the Republican Party bad, but you took the money from them. This is something that has to be addressed, everybody, because what happens is, we sit back and watch this, and then when one or two of us mention it, you know, we get shunned off. But if we come with 20, 25 people sitting there in these offices and talk with these people, they saying, they bringing people up here and they hear what's going on. And even if you ain't happen to be all black or what, we're not even worried about that right now at this point in time, at this moment. We know one thing, that there is a movement that is coming across this country, and it's called, y'all look this up, it's called the Golden Dawn. This is going to be what I call one of the biggest, fastest, sweeping political groups. And it started in Greece, everybody. Y'all look it up. It's called the Golden Dawn. It started in Greece because Greece had gotten the same program that Detroit had. Remember, Greece was fighting and austerity. They had to take. They still have it going on. But this group has risen. And guess what their cry is? The cry is, and show you how their rallying cry is working. Show you, that's why I brought this up. Get rid of foreigners. They showed a document with V on tomorrow. I have Agenda 21 on the website, drybossconnection.com. Tomorrow I'll put this video about Golden Dawn. This political party is rising to power based off get rid of immigrants. And guess where they're going next? Germany. And they said they will put branches in the United States. Now imagine that. This is starting from Greece. My question to everybody, if these type of groups are being formulated, and they are, what do you think the climate would be here in America when you have a country full of weapons? I want everybody to know the governor of, the governor of Massachusetts, but correct me if I'm wrong, one of the governors today said you can bring guns into office buildings, bars, and restaurants. That was signed today. So y'all look that up to make sure I ain't lying. That a governor put into law today where you can take guns into restaurants, buildings, I think even public places. Now, that's interesting that he would say that. Let me get somebody else on the line.
We provide a little bit of information right quick.
Hold on, I'm going to let you say this whole time. 7326, you on the line. Let me give you a break the before we bring the other
one. Yeah, I just want to chime in real quick. That was here in Georgia. That was Governor Perdue.
Okay.
Well, now you're permitted to bring guns in the churches, school zones, you name it. You can have a gun on you.
See?
Miami.
I've seen that today. Where anybody else want to say something before I cut them off? Somebody want to say something.
In Miami,
here,
too. They were doing that too. They want to have guns bringing the school system.
Well, they're bringing the guns in.
The water.
Yeah, go ahead.
with regard to the water, the water rights, what you will start to see happening across the country is a lot of the municipalities will start to patent their water to where they'll claim riparian. It's called the real estate, the realty term is called riparian water rights. And so I think if any of us who are in the areas of the Great Lakes or any of the freshwater lakes throughout the country, like I mentioned, I've already established a residency in Detroit. I'm from Chicago, so obviously around some of the largest freshwater lakes in the country. Also Las Vegas. If any of the listeners can establish residency in Nevada near Vegas, remember Lake Tahoe. So, and the reason is because all of these freshwater resources will be patented. And so, as you see, can you mute somebody out because I'm getting a lot of background?
Yeah, I got to mute. I'm seeing that. Okay, go ahead.
And so what we're seeing happening is we know that the that water is going to be the new blue gold. If they can go ahead and Google the title, it's called Tapped. Just watch that documentary. It explains the whole thing. It's called Tapped, T-A-P-E-D. It's a documentary on how all the fresh water lakes and things
and the blue gold. The blue gold as well, because the blue gold, if y'all don't know this, water in some of these countries is more than anything you can imagine. It's more than champagne in some places. So water is always been a war for water. You just never see it, everybody. There's a different war going on all over the earth. And, unfortunately, we don't understand that it's going on simultaneously at the same time. And we also are in the part of it as well. Unfortunately, that water, if it is able to be brought, it would be brought probably with the consent of the UN, due to the fact that they can call with the Department of Wildlife or the Wilderness Foundation. You know, they use a different terminology, wildlife and all these different alphabet letter groups are out there as really fronts. Remember the movie, and I hope everybody watched these movies too, because they're telling you, The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games was also talking about controlling weather in that movie, and I hope y'all realize that. They just announced recently, like 2 days ago, that they are having a blanketly shoot down to the clouds to have instantaneous rain, and this was just in the Science Review. So they are already well advanced. What they're trying to pull probably will come out of science fiction, y'all, but it's science real. They are pulling off some of the most craziest things. And as you know, everybody, so we get back on some good subjects that was passed, then we all say, I think Brother Sean made it clear that there's going to be a problem finding that plane. Well, they can't find the plane. The radio went dead today. So here's more. Here's more foolishness that is being perpetrated as a big lie, as a big one. Any more callers, come on in. Y'all want to make a comment? I was looking for go ahead.
Yeah, I also want to say, I recently watched a movie, I think it's called Zulu with Forrest Whitaker. It's based in South Africa, but in the movie they talked about experimenting with certain types of drug that was supposed to be designed for blacks and to have them fight each other. It was sort of like the theme of the movie itself had that undertone. But I'm looking at the parameters of what they're setting up, even in the communities, especially the minority communities, and you see that actually the environment is pretty much being set up for some form of how would I say social design for a particular outcome, and it's slowly being implemented. And again, with a culture that's really unaware and distracted, it can easily pass. And we make sadly, but our community make for perfect experiments because we're so unaware and so focused and distracted. I recently been catching up on a theme, and not even a theme, but a actual, where we're accepting EBT cards and they're posting up signs at gas stations. I believe even today, not today, I think it's about two or three weeks ago before I came to Jacksonville, I saw a Dots had a sign put up that they accept EBT cards, which I thought was kind of strange that you can accept those type of payments in retail stores. And I'm figuring out what would they be selling in those retail stores that they would require EBT payments. So, of course, with a community that's very unaware, they can easily pass and experiment with these type of programs. Again, it all falls in line with the onslaught, and that onslaught is coming from many different angles. And not having at least a concerted effort to either expose and unify to begin to at least expose some of these onslaughts, we're going to always be at the disadvantage. Saddest part is that our communities are not connected from city to city, state to state, and that's the biggest obstacle that presents itself, and we have to get around that.
Somebody made a point to me, and I'm going to bring it up. It was a time when that supposed freedom from the Emancipation Proclamation was announced, and we would let loose. I won't say free, we just let loose. Then many of us went back to many states to look for our loved ones. That's what Django was about, of looking back to find your loved ones. We are lost, connected from most of our states, families, and even other states. You know, some of you have good connections with them. That's great. But many of them have lost connections from what's going on in other parts of the country. And so a lot of this, what he just said, lack of information, kill the people. When you have an informed community, you can't pull stunts on. You can't do it. Now, if you have an uninformed community, three or five of us might have it, and then you got like 50 who don't. They're going to be able to pull every stunt in the book because the ones who don't believe what we're saying will perpetrate against us. So they already got that taken care of. They ain't got to come tell them because they don't believe automatically. What we have here, my brother said, I'm Scott. There's been a store that's been popping up everywhere called I'm Scott. It's supposed to be you can get these free. Now, here's a store that gives you free money orders and everything. They're blue. They're popping up everywhere. You notice ain't nothing, nobody hardly ever in them, at least where we live at. But they're everywhere. Come to find out that they are possibly, and we will get the word, they're owned by the Federal Reserve. They're taking, and you can only pay everything in cash. We believe that they are taking all cash out of the system. They're taking all cash. That's what's been, because it's called money management mechanics, and I read some of this, and it's called shrinking the surplus of the money, even though they claim it. They're only claiming to give us $1 trillion through austerity, which is the QE 1, 2, and 3, but that's digital. That's digitally controlled. That's not paper controlled. So when they say we're going to pump $1 trillion, it's $1 trillion of digital money. It's not printed up. And so that's why it's very dangerous what they're doing. I want to say this to everybody. We talk about constitutions and we talk about how they can't break the Constitution. Well, I'm going to read one of the oldest constitutions in the Western Hemisphere. And I'm going to read one in particular. It's number 12. And I want you, if anybody who's online, if y'all know what I'm about, who this Constitution is, y'all say it because I don't give you it's because number 12, this Constitution was the oldest. It says, no white man of whatever nation he may be shall put foot on this territory with the title of master, proprietor, neither shall he in future acquire any property therein. What constitution is that, anybody? You, the mic is all over. You can just say it when you're ready. Constitution who? That is a Haitian constitution, everybody. That is a Haitian constitution. You heard what I said? It says, no, white man, you all know that is been broken. Been broken for a long time. This is when Emperor Jacques Dasselin delivered and received, some sanctions put on, but he made this constitution here. And it also says for all my Hispanic brothers who are always talking bad to everybody, that the people inhabiting the island, formerly called San Domingo, hereby agree to form themselves into a free state, sovereign, independent of any other power in the universe under the name of the Emperor of Haiti. So right there, they had extended a hand, and that hand today is being chopped off.
Yeah. They've been chopping it off.
Being chopped off. Chopped off. You can't even, they're talking about taking them, they're nuking them out. Here's another one that seems to be funny. The quality of a citizen is suspended in consequence of bankruptcy and failures. You know, you got to look at that. And then it goes right to say, no person or worth of being a Haitian who is not a good father, good son, good husband, and especially a good soldier. That's a person worth is to be that. Well, we all know that ain't happening. You see how what happened?
They made some of that.
No, I want y'all to see. This is what we all be on Facebook talking about, all this stuff, and then you don't never tell what's going on. But we gonna change a lot of that. We gotta let y'all know. And I feel sad because I'm reading it. When I read this constitution, I said, this is a powerful constitution. And then I thought about what it is today. What they have done to a powerful people with a powerful constitution. They have taken it without no problem. The people surrounding the island, they don't care. But we'll pretend on Black History Month, oh, yeah, overture and all this stuff. You got to be ashamed of yourselves. That's why I say I'm calling it out now. We are phonies, y'all. We don't respect no cultures. This one here has been destroyed. Even the people who know this culture being destroyed act like they don't know. They love the French. My Jamaican brothers and sisters, you love England. You're probably dog one of us for an English person. I know you will, Bahamas. The reason why I say that because you don't have a problem with that parliamentary wig on that's white. you don't even know what they're doing and why you do that parliamentary government stuff. Then we got our Spanish brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell y'all, I want y'all to wake up quickly. One of the only black neighborhoods all over the world, we have always, always had Spanish people. In the north, they were our brothers, the Puerto Ricans. As we came down further, we found them to be everything. And if you look at all the neighborhoods in the south, we have everybody in without fear. They have chickens. They play music. We get along. Well, you better take that same mentality that we all been talking about, and we better unify our asses quickly. Because everything I talked about that was once glorious is now almost into ruins. And we got to wake up immediately. That's a constitution, y'all. That's a constitution. I want y'all to know that. And that constitution, go ahead. Stop me before I keep going.
Were you aware that the Operation American Spring is to take place in Washington, D.C. on May 16th? And that's all the national constitutional militias have organized a national rally, if you will. But the so-called Arab Spring that occurred a few years ago, well now they've started a American Spring that's to take place May 16th to take back the government. So we should see some real.
Now I want to. Yeah, we're gonna get back on that because we'll probably do a show on that as it approaches, and we can get into that because let me tell you, there was a when the Tea Party started. Y'all heard of Allen West? Alan West was very accepted by the Tea Party, and he was not saying some bogus stuff. He was meant to believe like he was crazy, but if you listen to him, he was not a crazy person. He just said things that we did not like to hear. And I'm not talking about brothers and sisters on the Dry Bones Connection, but you know people who are out there who may be listening later on. And so I'm saying, which Brother just spoke of, we better take a look at this. See, I'm the type of person to probably go. I went to a Tea Party meeting. And everybody know I have. Went up to right there when we had it up there at the Capitol in Tallahassee. They're very strong in Tallahassee. And they were very organized, you know, because the one thing I always say, they got a rally cry. You got to have a rally cry, everybody. We must come up with the rally cry. That's what the think tank better come up with, because they rally cry, well, let's take back our country. That's a hell of a rally cry, y'all. Can you imagine people saying, we're gonna, you know, now they're going to be even more mad when Obama try to get them to sign an immigration bill, because get what the immigration bill is going to do. Immigration bill going to put everybody, because see, they need bodies now, because when they give these people citizenship, they'll have their birth certificates, and they'll probably use them as collateral. They need all the people they can get. They're going to let everybody in now.
That's right.
They need everybody they can get in this country so they can collateralize. That's what they're doing this for. There's no other reason to have all these immigrants knowing that we don't have jobs enough to keep them, but to use them for a scheme, and that's what it's about to be used at. But here's the catch, everybody. They will rally cry on immigrants like they have always did. If you look at all revolutions, or all especially European revolutions, I'm saying European because not every revolution is the same. European revolution has always been hostile toward immigrants.
And because your immigrants are more loyal to the government because they've accepted the gratuity. They've accepted the handout. So your immigrants are always more loyal to the government that they received the handout from versus your disgruntled citizens.
But there's a reason for that, though. And the reason for that is because immigrants in their country are being bombarded by the same powers that be that are taking
right.
resources from their own country. So
that's
you know,
right.
they're impoverished. They are impoverished in their own country. So when they say, damn, I'm in my own country, but I don't got what I need to feed my family or to get for myself. So they're seeing on the other side of the field, and they're saying, I'm going over there because there's a lot over there. So it's a manipulation.
Right.
Yeah, it's
and that's
a manipulation.
Yes. That's right. Now, this is nothing new, y'all. We are talking about looking at their strategy. That's a strategy that's still being used until we break
exactly.
the strategy. Now, let me go. Here's another call. Let me get them on before everybody gets on because I know it's getting late. We got 11 minutes. I got 1-877. You're on the air.
Good evening. I just wanted to call and tell you that I definitely enjoyed Reverend Pickney.
Yes.
And I also enjoyed watching the movie, the After Media Project.
Oh,
Bankrupt.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody watched the movie.
It was very good, wasn't it?
Yes, very, 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 very good. And what I observed in the movie is there was so many Michigan, Detroit people that still passionately love their city and is trying to do everything in their power to try to rebuild their city. And hopefully the bankruptcy they're hoping, of course, that the bankruptcy will rebuild their city. And I just applaud the folks who actually put this video together. It looks like a movie, AMC. I mean, it's so quality, it's so professional, the clips, everything. I definitely encourage everyone to go out and go on the Dry Bones Connection and click on the movie. It's only like 45 minutes long. It's not that long, and it gives you a really great idea of understanding how the bureaucracy came into their city and I explain how they just came in and pretty much took over
And the key word, the key word was, you seen it, it was called urban planners. They came in there at most cities. They did it here. They did it where we come from. They built highways right in your neighborhood to take you out of your comfort zone, to disrupt your commercial trade that you have already established, and they'll break it through by saying we're going to build. Now, this is done back in the early days without any problem because, of course, we was not in politics, many of us. But once we got into politics and the game, it still continued because those particular politicians, even though they try, end up taking money, which is the number one thing. Now, I'm not saying we should not have money. I'm not saying we should not live a good life because I think all of us should have that because the earth can handle everybody if it's taken with pride and with care. It's enough food for everybody. Mm-hmm. Don't believe it, the population is not that big. Everybody on the planet Earth can have acres of land before it even, you know, we can put everybody in one continent and still will still be tons of people land left. So that's a misnomer. But here's our thing. We got to have to come up with something that's going to be galvanizing for the people. And I think this is what the think tank need to get with because connecting with people is the key to this. There are same people all over this state and your state as well who feels just like you. Let me get another one in here. I see somebody else popping up. 8804. 8804. You're on the air. Go ahead. 8804. You're on the air. Eight eight oh four. Last time. Okay, that's it. I think the urban planners. Go ahead, somebody. Urban planners. We got about 8 minutes left. Try to get your comments. Make them brief though, so we can keep this thing with the other people. We still got everybody on the line. We still have you on the line, everybody. So feel free. Go ahead. What you gonna say?
Thank you. You mentioned in reference to the immigrants, but I also see like an influx on Asians. Like for example, here in Miami, okay, when that casino will be built in that historical building that they've torn down of the Miami Herald, it is run by the Asians that are also in Las Vegas. That casino's gonna come through. And it's going to tamper our jobs because what we locals are supposed to be working and they'll tell us, oh, you're going to work, but that's not true. They're going to give it to the Asians for less money, you know, less wages rather.
That's true because they're all now. Anybody who ever been here. We are one of the cruise capitals of the world. Most cruises are Filipino hired because they are less documented and so forth. So they have already have the slave trade has never stopped everybody. That's what it's all about right now. We're under this illusion that the slave trade has stopped. It has never stopped. It's only going to stop when people get tired of watching it, and it seems that we have a bloodthirst to watch our neighbors and brothers and sisters to be sold into this, and they're being sold at high level. Matter of fact, one of the tapes that was sold today, and I did watch it, and it took me to so many other things. I know people have a hard time believing the unwill, but let me just say this: people are missing. The man just said four bodies, and they don't even care about it. Last thing with police, but people are being missing at a high level. I mean, I don't know how to tell you. Hope that it has nothing. Nobody ever experiences. No family, nobody on this radio have to experience nothing like that. But the reality is, we hear it all the time. We must take account. Why is this happening? There is no real search. The cases are cold. No one knows what's going on. I suggest that we have to tell our people to be in a security mode. People. Somebody, and here's the easy way we can get. People will say, oh, can I talk to you for a minute? No. Forget picking people up that you don't know. I'm talking to the females. Anybody, you don't pick up nobody you don't know. Don't jog in the park at night when it's full of bushes. Try to avoid the obvious. Don't go get gas late at night in a spot you know got trolls. Stay away from that. We got to think about what we're getting into now. It's almost like prepare your travels to know where you're going. There's a law that they say are able to use these guns. If you feel that way, we better utilize what they're giving. If the law says you can get one, get one. based off what we see, that got to be a reason for this. So prepare yourself. Don't leave yourself wide open. Women, get mace. Brothers, get what you need to get to protect your family, your house. That's all I can tell a person to do. Because you know what? If they don't listen, ain't nothing you can do because you did your part. But there are groups. There are people getting together. Those constitutionalists that are going to be meeting in May. I'll have a show again on that. We'll get more clarity so we can get – I want somebody, Sean and Tony, hope to see you this Saturday up in St. Petersburg. We need to have this go throughout the state. And we need to recognize that those of you who are in these lodges claiming to be righteous, upright brothers, you need to start and sit down and take a look at what's really going on in the community. Are you really strengthening the community? Are you really out there giving the community what they need, or you just want to wear regalia and walk around acting as if you know something? In reality, we know nothing, because if we did, we would have stopped the invasions of the Arabs in the neighborhood, so I guess we don't know nothing. So that should have been an understanding. It's because you wear an Arabic hat with a sword on there. Go ask them to give you some money and see how they like you. Let's try that one. Okay? You'll find out how much Islam they like you about. Okay? So this is where we at. This is where we at. And I used to do all kind. As-salamu alaykum to you. Oh, it used to be cool. You know how the game goes. And believe me, I'm not mad at them. You will come over here too, and they say, hey, you can come over here and get a free loan. Just put yourself. You know, we got to look at too. We shouldn't get too mad at the people, because we would do that too. I wish the country say, come on over, I'll give you $100,000, and you ain't got to pay us back. That's sweet. That is sweet. Who gonna say no to that? And like the sister said, these countries are being pilfered. These countries, Central America, Latin America, that's why the Pope is Latin. Because they are one of the biggest populations right now. Because the Latin community is a mixture. They have African, they got European, they got all the mixes in that community. So they got the right person. He's kissing people's feet, licking toes. I mean, the cat doing all kinds of stuff. Ain't no Pope did all this crazy, all this stuff he's doing. He got Obama that was just there the other day. I hope y'all looking at this. He was just with Obama. You know, he talking to all the great, all the leaders. That's right. They put the plan's in place. The plan is in place, y'all. It's in place.
We've done a poor job of connecting the dots, which you brought quite a few up earlier.
For example, when people tend to think that these colonists had a change of heart all of a sudden and decided to allow these little countries to get their freedom, but didn't realize that it was a global insurrection taking place, with Haiti by alone breaking the mold, but also inspiring other countries, especially in the South American with the Bolivian Revolution, and arming them. So once they saw that these nations were beginning to rise, they began to switch up the plan immediately. Again, as we become more aware and we begin to connect with each other, they foresee that eventually there will be a challenge coming up. So basically, you might have them basically putting into effect maybe their agenda
is to stave off what's the inevitable. But people tend to forget that we must connect the dots, and we haven't been doing that, and we need to do that ASAP, because they're moving forward, and they're moving forward because they know what's coming, and if they can beat us to the finish line, they might be able to extend it for another 400-500 years, their hierarchy. So that's the issue that we really got to pay attention to. But don't forget,
well, I'm gonna tell you this.
It didn't just end overnight. There was a lot of insurrection going on throughout different hemispheres where these colonial powers had power. And again, Haiti suffered the consequence of being the first to successfully and also promote others to break the chain. And we've never symbolically went back to maybe even protect and reward Haiti and Haitians for what they tried to do. So when you brought up the Constitution, it reminded me about that. I just want to say that was real.
Let me just say this, and we're gonna close the show out. Appreciate you, everybody. Next week we hope to have even more information, movement of what's going on. We hope that we might have some information of what's going on in Tampa. All you who have said you will come, it's in St. Petersburg as movement. MovementChange.com. Just look it up. They're on Facebook. Please, those of you who can make it go. Now, last thing. Somebody told me who was a little bit. I always listen to people when I look up the information. I find they right. I got to bring it up and give them special thanks. Something has always been a lie. That's been that history. That Mayflower is a hoax. If you look up the families of the Mayflower, they're all very well-to-do people. But when you get further, you found out not the ships not only had us, it also had their wretched. Europe had enslaved their own people as well and brought them over here as bounty to keep the land going as security as well. It all started bringing everybody over here. Those agreements were made. How you going to be in the land? Y'all know it ain't there, but you're going to say we searching for a new land. So obviously, this thing is well in doubt, but their people are finding out that they've been screwed again by their own government. That's what we're seeing. See, they know something we don't know. See, they know that they had an insurrection. They had a Spanish Inquisition. They had a European Inquisition where they were killing them like maniacs. Beheading them, bleeding them, putting it, you go one day on YouTube and look up the insurrection, you will be like, oh my God. Now this is what they did. And then they still made a thing and said, y'all gonna go over there in chains first. But what happened was they seen that they were becoming back in friendship. I said back in friendship and peace. I'm saying they went back in friendship when they started to see the blacks with them. And what do you normally do when you have a group of black and white individuals, man and woman? You start to have sex and children with them. Just look at Frederick Douglass and all of them who you may think you know. They all had white wives and so forth. So they were very well used to that. And they had to create a division so that they would feel superior. And that division was the race game. Until we understand that game, which is the one game that the miseducation of Negro Taji Wilson name, that's the one game that W. Du Bois said would be the most pressing thing in the 21st century would be the race game, because he knew it, because he was around the creation of it when it was becoming very hard. They did it, and they knew that if they keep the union, because they know that we were having sex with them all along, because it's proven in Europe. So we have to understand that they got a hard feeling now. They feel betrayed, y'all. Understand this. They ain't feeling this. They may say that, but they feel betrayed because they say, in their mind, they've been brainwashed too. In their mind, they've been told this lie that they were being looked out by their white founding father. Their white founding father was not looking out for them. They were looking out for the Vatican Trust banks, which are in power today. George Washington and all of them were nothing but bastards. And they had never ended upon being a part of the lower class white people. That's why they showed you in the Titanic, and I'm going to close here. The Titanic said it all. They said it was a Haitian family on Titanic, maybe one or something. So basically, let's just give them that business for the doubt. So that's one. But it was full of the lower class Europeans. who are at the bottom. And you've seen the movie, most of y'all. They said, guess what? Let us go. They started shooting them. Now, that's a movie. Imagine what the real one was about. So, in a movie, they gave you a tidbit. In reality, they probably had no chance. They probably killed all of them because they don't care. So, understand that, and maybe we'll start to understand how to get this game going on so we can connect. OE Dry Bones. Good night.